Many, many years ago, Jesus was standing before Pontius Pilate in a trial. And during the course of that trial, Pontius Pilate asked many questions of Jesus, and one of them that he asked was this, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. And they that are of the truth heareth my voice." The words that Jesus spoke intrigued Pontius Pilate, and he asked another question to Jesus. And his question very simply was this, "What is truth?" Notice that Jesus said, "I came to bear witness of the truth." And therefore Pontius Pilate asked the question, "What is truth?" There are many, many answers that can be given to that one simple question, aren't there? And in both lessons today, in our first service and also in our second service, we're going to be looking at some of the answers that could be given to that particular question. What is truth is the title of our lessons this morning. Point number one, what is truth, folks? Truth is a person, namely Jesus Christ, the Son of God. On one occasion, Jesus acknowledged, did he not, that he is the truth. Jesus said unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There is not a person who is in this audience today who can say, "I am truth." You see, when we say that an individual is truth, what Jesus was saying is this, my very nature is truth. My friends, anywhere truth exists, whether it is here, whether it is in another part of the world, regardless of where that truth can be found, guess what? Jesus is the source of all truth that exists in the world today. Note this, there is not one lie, nor is there one ounce of deception that can be found in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When you and I stand before the skeptic, the atheist, the agnostic, the infidel, the humanist, there is one question that you and I need to ask them, and it's simply this. Can you show me one time that our Lord and Savior ever lied or ever deceived any man? And my friends, there is not once where that ever transpired. Jesus is truth. I find it interesting that Pontius Pilate was standing before truth when he asked that question, didn't he? What is truth? And Jesus could have easily said, "You are looking right at him," couldn't he? Secondly, what is truth? Truth is the revelation of God's mind to mankind. In John 17, 17, Jesus spoke these words, "Sanctify them through thy truth." Now listen to this next statement. "Thy word is truth." Not only is Jesus truth, but also His word is truth. It is truth because it comes from the mind of a God whose nature is all truth. We turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we start at verse 9, and Paul tells us exactly how you and I came to receive the revelation from God. He begins with these words, "As it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of any man the things which the Lord hath prepared for them that love Him." There was a time when man did not know truth. There was a time when man had not heard truth. There was a time when man could not even conceive of truth in his own mind. But notice what Paul says in verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. You see, there was a time when there were things not seen. But now those things have been revealed. Notice that Paul says they have been revealed by the Holy Spirit of God. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of any man the things which the Lord hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath what? Revealed them unto us. How? By His Spirit. Why the Spirit? For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You see, the Spirit has access to something you and I don't. The Holy Spirit has access to the very mind of God Himself. So He searches the deep things of God. And then He brings those things and He reveals them to inspired men. Notice that Paul says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. You see, there were individuals, apostles, prophets, who were given the message by the Spirit of God. And what did they do? They could now have the things from God that were needed. And in verse 13, Paul says this, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. There was a time when there was no revelation. The Spirit searched the mind of God. He revealed those things to inspired men. Those individuals received those things and began to speak them and write them down. And folks, today we have truth in the pages of this holy and divine book, don't we? That's how we got truth today. In John 16, 13, Jesus, speaking to His disciples, says this, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Notice He is described as, first of all, the Spirit of truth. And Jesus told those individuals, listen to Him, He will guide you into all truth. Let me ask you something. During the lifetime of the apostles, did they or did they not receive all truth? If they did receive all truth, there is no more truth to be received. All truth was given to the apostles. If they did not receive all truth, if we still stand in need of truth today, then guess what? Jesus lied, didn't He? Because Jesus said the Spirit would guide them into all truth. Both truth came from God. And now that truth is found in this little book called the Bible, the Word of God. Point number three, what is truth? Folks, truth are facts that stand. The Greek word for truth is the Greek word aletheia. I don't expect you to remember that word. I just point it out to you. Aletheia, it's a pretty word, isn't it? But here's what it means. Here's how it's defined. Of a truth. In reality, in fact, certainty. Folks, when we talk about truth, we are talking about things that are real. We are talking about things that are substantial. We are talking about things that are actual. We are talking about things that are certain. We are talking about things that are based upon facts. Truth is fact. And notice this, facts involve things that are real, actually, and absolutely certain. Notice this, facts can be denied, can't they? Facts also can be ignored. If a man wants to, he can just dismiss a fact. And facts can be mocked. We can laugh at them all we want. But the reality is this, facts stand. Facts last. Facts endure. Facts never, ever, ever go away. We say that the Bible, the truth, is fact. Folks, this book will never go away. Regardless of what man does to it, regardless of what he says about it, it will always endure. Facts stand. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. Peter said very clearly, the word of the Lord endureth forever. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. Now, let's make some application of what we're talking about. Remember, truth is what? Truth is fact. And regardless of what I say about it, regardless of whether I like it, regardless of whether I agree with it, it is fact and it can never ever be changed. The Bible says there is one body. Ephesians 4, verse 4. Folks, that is a fact that will never go away. We live in a world today where individuals think that there are many churches, don't they? That all churches are acceptable to God. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches there is one body, and regardless of what man says, that will never go away. The Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, 16. Folks, that is a fact that will never go away. I don't care what the Billy Graham Evangelistic Society says. I don't care how many commercials they put on television telling individuals just to accept the Lord Jesus in their heart and they'll be saved, or save the sinner's prayer and they can be saved, or just believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and they can be saved. Folks, they will never change that fact. That fact will never go away. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now listen up, church. The Bible says this, moreover, it is required in servants that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. That is a fact that will not go away. Just because we have been baptized, immersed into Christ for the remission of sins, does not mean that we are safe now in the arms of Jesus and that nothing can ever, ever, ever take away our salvation. It is required in a steward that a man be found what? Faithful. And we are to be faithful unto death. A fact that will never go away. It's been almost 2,000 years since Peter wrote his second epistle. But in that second epistle, he made a statement that is very interesting in chapter 3, verse 10. He says this, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Folks, that is a fact that will not go away. Our Lord is going to return. One of these days, the heavens are going to burst open. And the Lord Jesus Christ, with all of His holy angels, is going to make Himself manifest to the world, and there will be a judgment of all mankind. It is a fact that will never, ever go away. You see, truth involves facts that stand. Point number four. Truth is a love letter from God. One of the messages that shines forth over and over and over again in the New Testament is that God did what He did on that little hill called Golgotha in the Hebrew language, Calvary in the Roman language. He did what He did there because He loves mankind. I find it interesting that oftentimes conservative Christians have a tendency to shy away from the love of God. And we have allowed individuals who refer to themselves as liberal individuals to hijack the phrase, the love of God. They talk about it all the time, and we are scared to talk about it. The very minute that I say that the New Testament is a love letter from God, some individuals just cringe when they hear those words, a love letter. It's a law. It's not a love letter, folks. It's both, is it not? Questions. Does God love us? Absolutely. Another question. Was it God's love that caused Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago? Absolutely. Folks, notice this. Is God's love expressed in the pages of the New Testament? Yes. Is it wrong to say that the New Testament is a love letter to mankind? No, folks, it is God's revelation to man. And throughout the course of that book, what does He say? I love you. Is not the love of God one of the main motivators that God has given to us as far as our life is concerned? We love Him. And anybody can finish the statement just about, can't you? Why? Because He first loved us. You see, the very reason that we love God, the very reason we want to obey God, the very reason we want to please God is because He first loved us, and now that's a motivator for me to love Him in return. Folks, there is nothing wrong with saying that truth is a love letter. Doesn't the Bible affirm it many times? Yes. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, John 3:16. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. But after that, the kindness and love of God toward man appeared. Titus 3, verse 4. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, that He gave Himself for us. 1 John 3, verse 16. And then there's also 1 John 4, 9 and 10. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. We have listed six passages of Scripture from the Gospels all the way to almost the close of the New Testament. And over and over and over in the pages of the Scripture, God tells us, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Folks, the New Testament is a love letter from God to man. I find it interesting what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, and then says this, but the greatest of these is what? Is charity. That little word charity is love. Now abideth faith, hope, love. And the greatest of these is love. If you and I were to talk about any one thing about God, it ought to be His love. That's part of His nature, is it not? God is love. And because of that love, He expressed it on the cross of Calvary so that you and I do not have to die and be separated from Him. But now you and I can die, we can be resurrected, judged, and live with Him eternally. Why? Because He loves us, folks. And this book is what tells me about that love. Truth is a love letter from God to man. Point number five. Truth is a teacher that educates. You see, the very reason God has given us truth is so that you and I can be educated regarding spiritual realities. If you and I did not have this book, oh yes, we could know that God exists, couldn't we? Take for instance the Native Americans. Long before any European settlers came to this shore, guess what? They believed in a higher power, didn't they? They didn't have the Word of God, but they believed in a higher power. How did they do that? Because they could look at the creation and know that there is something beyond them, something greater than them, something that had to bring this world into existence. They knew that it was divine, that it was powerful. But folks, it's only by this book that we can know what that divine being wants us to do. And He educates us. I looked up that little word, educate. And it comes from a word that simply means this, to lead. When an individual educates another person, that individual leads that individual from one point to another point. And that's what truth does for us. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 25, verse 5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. We turn to another statement made by the psalmist in Psalm 143:10. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Now listen to him. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Notice that he says, I need to be taught. Why do I need to be taught? So I can be led into the land of uprightness. Truth is an educator in spiritual realities. Every person who becomes a Christian is first educated in the truth, is he not? Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Notice that there has to be what? Teaching that transpires first. Jesus says that a man must first be taught, as it is written in the prophets, and they all shall be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And it was God who said, I will write my laws in their mind, and my law in their hearts. Hebrews 8, verse 10. Before any of us became Christians, there were things that we had to learn, weren't there? And that individual may have led us out of a sin into righteousness. That individual may have led us out of error, false doctrine, doctrines of men, into the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He led us out of a place of destruction and misery and into a place of life and hope and vitality in Christ Jesus. Truth will lead us out of eternal condemnation and into an everlasting heaven. I find it interesting that when Pilate asked the question, what is truth? He never, ever, ever dreamed that the answer would involve so many avenues of thought, would he? He never dreamed that. Truth is a person, namely, Jesus Christ our Lord. Truth is a revelation from God to man. Truth is fact. It is that which is absolute, that which is real, and it will stand the test of time forever and ever. Truth is a love letter from God to man, and truth is a teacher that educates. At some point in time, this lesson will go out on YouTube. And there will be a lot of individuals who may stop for a moment and listen to the first few minutes of this lesson. And you want to know what they'll do? They'll not appreciate one word that's said in this sermon. But those are individuals in the world, aren't they? We expect that kind of a reaction from those in the world. Sadly, there are some Christians who discount these thoughts and underestimate them. So what, preacher? What's the big deal? Why be so concerned about all of these things? In 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 10, the Apostle Paul talks about some individuals who will not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Isn't that sad? And what he says in that verse is this: they're going to perish instead of being saved. Why? Because they are deceived by unrighteousness. Here's the verse: with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Folks, every one of us must develop a deep love for the truth of God's Word. As we come to the conclusion of the lesson, there's one question that every one of us needs to answer, and it very simply is this: do you love the truth? I can't answer that for you. You can't answer that for me. Do you love this book in our Lord Jesus Christ? You see, if we do, we'll honor the book, won't we? If we do, we will hear the book. And if we do, we will give heed to the book. On the day of Pentecost, truth was proclaimed, wasn't it? In fact, it was proclaimed through Jesus, and it was proclaimed through words from Jesus. Peter convinced almost 3,000 individuals that day that something needed to be done, that they were in sin, that they needed to make their lives right with God, and they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter's words were simple: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Maybe there's someone here who needs to do that. Folks, you can't be saved on your own terms. You can only be saved through truth. Dear Christian, the text says, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Where do you stand in your Christian life? Do you need to make some things correct? Do you need to do that this morning? Won't you come as we together we stand and sing?